voice of reason.
You know, one of the things that we talk about fairly regularly here, and it's sad that we even have to have this conversation, is a voter fraud and voter integrity. And it just seems that the more the legislature messes with early voting, absentee voting, no excuse voting, you know, or absentee ballots, the more people that touch a ballot, the greater the potential there is for fraud. I don't care what party you're in or where you're from. That's just a fact. For many years, if you couldn't get to the ballot box on election day, let's say you're in the military, or let's say, oh my goodness, I'm on a cruise that week, or God forbid you're ill, you're immobile. Look, you could vote by absentee voting has been around for years and years. The only difference is you had to submit your ballot by the voting day. You didn't have 14 days to get into some get your ballot in. And what's with these? They look like mailboxes, right? You know what I'm talking about. These ballot boxes that are often outside, often no camera on them. We saw Wanda Jeter. See, again, these issues would have never been around several years ago. But what happens? You tinker around with the law enough and policy, you change it, it opens up for great potential. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 12 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. Typically, Dominic Rapini would be joining us live in studio. I think I was saying this earlier, but for those of you who've just joined us, Dominic got called to jury duty. He couldn't get out of jury duty. I'm surprised that they weren't, when they weren't researching Dominic Rapini, Republican.
I'm shocked he didn't get tossed immediately.
Republican endorsed candidate for Secretary of State. Nope, let's veto him. But we were, interestingly enough, and I've known this for a couple of weeks now, he was bringing a guest in with him today. So what we were talking about yesterday, Dominic and I were chatting on the phone yesterday, and we were texting back and forth as well. And I, you know, he says, well, we can just scrap that, and in 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about voter fraud. I said, no. The guest that you were bringing in, how about if she comes in on her own and spends the hour and is even able to take some questions at the bottom half? When voter fraud occurs, and of course we agreed on that, when voter fraud occurs, it undermines the electoral process for all voters. And VITE voter fraud was founded in 2018 by our next guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair after she observed issues of potential voter fraud and was astonished to find that when she reached out to several agencies, they all told her they lacked the resources to investigate the potential cases of fraud. Well, frustrated at the prospect of having nowhere to turn, she created FVF, which I just said is Fight Voter Fraud. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit 501c4 to advocate on behalf of all disenfranchised voters, regardless of party affiliation. Let's welcome to the show Linda Sinkowitz. Linda, good morning and welcome to the show here.
Good morning, and thank you so much for having me on.
I wanted to. I could have postponed this, and it's not to say that you can't come back on another day. We'll have you back another day as well. But I was really looking forward to meeting you and finding out more about Fight Voter Fraud and the work that you're doing. And I think we all want to know, what are you uncovering? Because something tells me this is like peeling back an onion where you're disgusted and you're tearing at the eye every time you pull a layer back.
Well, you should have seen us this morning. The same thing when we started noticing more stuff going on of people voting after they died, after they had died.
Oh,
what we're doing is we are investigating individually, person by person, whom we believe potentially violated election laws. We have to say potentially because we're not law enforcement. But what we do is we get the hard evidence using the public domain's information. So we don't pay for any information. This is all stuff anybody can recreate. And it's very basic stuff. Mm-hmm. Like in Connecticut, we're looking at the NCOA, the National Change of Address. So when you put in to have your address changed, usually through the U.S. Post Office, for a permanent change, you are telling a federal agency, I am now moving my permanent residency to X location.
Okay.
Right?
No problem.
Our laws, election laws, say you can only vote where you live. So if you move from Hartford and then you move to Bloomfield,
mm-hmm.
but then a year later you still decide that you're going to vote in Bloomfield, I mean in Hartford, that's an unclassified felony.
But they can't. How would they even be on their list if they shouldn't have, they've been taken off because they're now on the Bloomfield list?
No, they haven't. The Registrar of Voters do not look at the NCOA. If they do, there are very few of them because it would take a while to actually confirm. And our laws are just so ridiculous. So we'll come forward, which we're coming forward, with 100% proof that somebody lived in Hartford. And back in 2018, they did the NCOA, July of 2018, and moved to Bloomfield. They bought a house in Bloomfield. And then they may have even registered in Bloomfield, but they still voted in Hartford.
How prevalent is this?
Unfortunately, it's way too prevalent. I mean, it is...
What kind of numbers are we talking about?
So right now, fight voter fraud just on Connecticut residents who have violated any of the election laws, because there's multiple ones. We have proof over 11,000 people.
Wow. 11,000.
And that is just scratching the surface. I mean, just a little bit scratching the surface.
It's a combination of dead people.
That's an addition.
Okay, so that's another category. This is people strictly, the 11,000 are from people who move from one town to another but are on both roles.
They could be on both roles or they could be in other states. Because some people think that if I have a house in Florida and a house in Connecticut, I can decide, well, if I'm in Florida, I can vote there. If I'm in Connecticut, I can vote there. That's against federal law.
Yeah.
You can only vote where you live.
Interesting that you say that. I know somebody. This isn't a house in Florida. This is right here in Connecticut. They live, I don't want to sell anybody out here. So when people share information with me, I value that. They live in a suburban central Connecticut town, but they've got a beach house on the shore.
Yep.
And they're always down there. They get mail. And it's, by the way, it's not a cottage. It is a winterized four-season home that they don't even rent out to make a few bucks. They're down there constantly, especially in the summer, of course, you know. So guess what? It's a house and it's a house. They were eligible. They were actually could vote in both towns. They actually received a ballot an application for a ballot down on that shore town. And they brought it to my attention, I think it was 2 years ago. Yeah, and last year was the municipal. 2 years ago, the gubernatorial election. And they said, we're not taking advantage of this, Gary, but I'm just going to show you something. And they said, you know the town I live in. This is the town I'm voting in. This is the town I always vote in. But look at this from the town that I have my beach house, not a cottage. And I said, you got to be kidding me. So realistically, you can vote for governor and treasurer and secretary of state, all that. You can vote twice. I said, yep.
This has been going on for decades. It has just actually accelerated in the last dozen and a half years of what's going on here. So in 2020, there was 2.505 million voters registered on Connecticut voter rolls. Okay. And I have been saying that at least 500,000 died, moved, or never existed. And we are well on our way to proving that. Because in 2020, our organization, we actually wound up in the Supreme Court in Connecticut over having all the absentee ballot request forms sent to everybody, because that was against our Constitution. So what ended up happening during the primary in August of 2020 when Denise Merrill sent them out to everybody. Republicans and Democrats only on this one. 180,000 came back to the Secretary of State's office undeliverable. Then they were segregated out and shipped a couple of months later to the registrars in their particular towns who basically did absolutely nothing with them. So then in November of 2020, everything was done again. The absentee ballot request forms were sent out to everybody, including the independents and unaffiliated. So with that, we weren't able to determine which ones went to which towns because this time Denise Merrill actually had the return address, the local towns. Mm. But there was mix-ups like Stafford Springs got Stratford's and pretty much nothing was done. And then state law requires the canvassing from January 1st to May 1st to send out to people who haven't voted in two consecutive federal elections, which means every 4 years. Now, we already know we have two returned ones from August and the ones from November. Those don't count. Our tax dollars now had to go again for the registrar of voters to send out another card. And if it comes back undeliverable, they're put on the inactive list for 4 years. And if you look in my website, we actually have the numbers broken down by town. And it's something like 110,000 people on the inactive should have been removed 8-9 years ago.
I have to take a break in a few seconds, and we're going to come right back to you. But I got to let me just ask you this really quick. Is this punishable by law if someone's caught?
All the stuff we're doing? Yes.
Has anybody been caught? And how? If so, do you know how many approximately?
That's what we're bringing forward.
Okay. Stay right there. More with Linda Simkowitz when we return. Stay right there.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Get $5 off at AlignProbiotics.com.
No one ever likes calling their insurance company. It usually means there's a problem. And when there's a problem, you don't want to talk to a stranger. You want your agent, the agent who knows you. That's Michael Van Otterkirk and his staff at State Farm of Newington. State Farm has been the number one auto insurer in the U.S. every year since 1946. So when a problem arises, you'll be relieved to call State Farm of Newington, 860-666-1037. Because like a good neighbor, State Farm of Newington is there.
You're listening to Mornings with Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason. Only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
24 minutes after the hour of 9, our guest Linda Simkowitz with Fight Voter Fraud. By the way, if you've got a question for Linda, she's here for in live in studio for the entire hour. So like we've done yesterday with Attorney General William Tong when he was in here and Dominic when he's with us and any other when they're live in studio for the full hour, Tom Delnicki, another great example. When we go to open phones at the bottom half of this hour, if you've got a question that really falls, and I want to keep it on the subject that our guest is an expert in, if it pertains to voter fraud or ballot integrity, it falls within her purview, I'd love to have you ask that question directly to Linda. But in the meantime, tell us a little bit about this law that's only been used once in 73 years and how it pertains to the work that you're doing right now.
Okay, so a little while back, I actually found a law that's on the books here in Connecticut. It's 9-368. And basically what it says is that if three electors in a town, meaning voters, find that another elector, voter, violated any election law, and they have the evidence and they sign the affidavits, they can then go directly to a superior court judge who shall issue the arrest warrant.
Shall.
Yep. And shall are extremely important. So the first time we used that was back on November 21st in Bridgeport, Connecticut, mm-hmm. against Wanda Cheaters mm-hmm. and Anita. There's 17 counts against Wanda and there's 6 accounts against Anita. And our attorney Cameron Atkinson, got affidavits. He also went through the documents from the judge saying that they should be arrested. And we put together the arrest warrants. And then we had 3 Bridgeport voters review everything, review the affidavits, and then signed off on it. So on November 21st, it was delivered to the Bridgeport court, which at first did not want to accept it. It took a while before the clerk actually accepted it. So then we kept, our attorney just kept checking to see, you know, what was going to happen with that. And I remember the middle of December, I'm flying to Phoenix, and my attorney calls me and tells me, well, they just told me that they lost the paperwork. And he wasn't sure if there was going to be a writ mandamus against the clerk or the judge. An hour later, he calls me and he goes, well, I found out they actually just mailed it. So he drove to his P.O. box to get it. The significance of this was that it was signed on November 27th, and we weren't notified, and this was with checking with the court, until the middle of December. We missed our 10-day window to go directly to the Supreme Court here in Connecticut. So we then filed a writ of error against the judge. It's like 3 pages long. And after we filed that, then the sheriff needed to serve, and that was a whole fiasco, by the way.
So serving a judge.
Serving a judge.
Yeah. I can imagine.
They don't want to accept it, neither does the clerk. But long and short, right now we are in the Court of Appeals. Because the judge said, first things he said was that it was unconstitutional, which is not under his purview to determine whether a law is constitutional or not. That is the attorney general. It is not the judicial judge that we brought this to. The next thing is it wasn't even docketed. There was no number, no docket. Everything gets docketed. And 3, they never even spoke to any of the parties or our attorney. So that's what we're moving forward on. And we really want to be in the Supreme Court here in Connecticut. So what we did last week on, I think it was last week, Tuesday, we went to 3 different judicial districts, New Haven, Milford, and Middletown, and we submitted a total of 206 arrest warrants for people here in Connecticut who moved and still voted in their own towns. Some of them, you know, we didn't go after the absentee thing, which is a whole nother thing. But they're just very basic ones. So we now have 3 more judges involved. And we're waiting to hear if any of them are actually going to do the right thing and sign off on these.
Why do you think they want no part of this?
Because they've never seen anything like this before. It basically cuts out, first of all, the state election enforcement. They're useless. My husband keeps telling me, stop saying that. But they are. They can take up to a year to investigate. And if they don't investigate in a year, they drop it. I hold the record for the most amount of SEC complaints. And they've never done anything that they were supposed to do. It's ridiculous. So we've done their job, which is why we should be with the state's attorney.
Okay. We have a bottom of the half hour break. When we come back, your phone calls with Linda Simkowitz from Fight Voter Fraud. Dial now.